Revelation Road, we are in chapter 18. I think I'm going to finish tonight. That's my goal, at least with Revelation chapter 18. Let me do a little bit of a flashback. I don't even remember where we started. Did we start at 18? By the way, this is number what, 70? Number 70 teaching, and we started September 2000 and what? 20. Wait a minute, man. That's a long time of teaching something. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. I've enjoyed it, and I haven't belabored it for any reason. Like, you know, let's drag this thing on. Let's go for the record. I just want to teach it, man. I just want to get it in your spirit and let you see things you may not have seen before. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start back at verse 1 just a little bit and then get to where we were last time, because I think some of that recap I need to do. It just seems like when you just do this, it just all comes together, especially when you're coming down to the end. So let's look at this. It's good to rehearse things and look at it. After these things, what things? The things that took place in chapter 17. I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. We talked about that mega power. And the earth was lightened with his glory, which speaks of doxia. Okay, so I believe, you know, theologically, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus, but it's fine how it turns out. Next verse, if it's just an angel. And he cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So again, this is symbolic of speaking of demonic powers. Okay, its fall did not make it a habitation. It was already a habitation of these things. But the angel or the Lord Jesus is pronouncing this fall, this destruction. Now we watched the whore destroyed in chapter 17. Now we're seeing a whole different entity, as we taught last time, and we'll come to the finality of that. But it's a place where all of these foul spirits are. Remember, the reason why they use the terminology of a bird, what does a bird do? It flies. It goes from one place to the other. So think of export and import. Think of going out, coming in. Okay? So think of that. Next verse. For all nations, how many nations? All the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Again, that speaks of the passion of the fornication of idolatry. Not necessarily physical, but physical does tie into idolatry. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. So there's a connection here between this particular entity and the nations of the world. In other words, there's a business partnership. A business partnership. There's a relationship there that's give and take. Okay? So as we were discovering what this is and who this is and where it is, it has to be a place where there's a lot of commerce. Does that sound good? With her and the merchants, here we go. The merchants of the earth are wax rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The word delicacies we showed you was what? Luxuries. And the definition there of speaking of abundance and the whole thing about waxing rich, it gives a connotation in the Greek of a lust for power. Again, we've all been around people who have a lust for power. Whether they were your manager at McDonald's. Come on, who's trying to make that $15 mark? And you're not going to beat everybody up in the process. Or whether it was a CEO making six figures or seven figures or what have you. Or a politician, whatever. There's people who have that lust. Well, these are the nations of the world who look at this whore and they say, from this whore, we can become rich. We can do things together. We can manipulate. We can navigate through laws and loopholes, and we can tread upon people. And we can crush the little guy, and on it goes. We can do by robbery. Whatever it takes, we're going to fornicate with this particular entity so that we can become rich because we lust for it. Now, for you and I who don't think this way, it's kind of hard to realize this, but when you look into the business world and people that are on top of their game today, they are a lot of ways this way. This is the way they are, and it's kind of hard to conceive that. You know, We see movie characters of people who, you know, lust for power and all that stuff. And it's far from us because it's like, I'm not that way. You know, I'm a giver. I like what I have. Thank you for what I have. But Lord, you know, it's okay. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to go there and strangle Tony to get what I want, you know, and steal from you to get it. Does that make sense? But these guys in their corporate mindset, these merchants, they see this whore as a money-making machine. So think about that. As we were describing last time, we're going to come to the bottom of who this is and where this is in a more clearer way. All right? That sounded kind of weird, but more clear. And the merchants of the earth wax rich through the abundance of her delicacies. All right, next verse. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Again, this is why we think the voices of the Lord Jesus, that you may be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. Okay, so as we talked about last time, this is definitely a Babylonian system. It's a money system. It's a commercial system. It's a financial system. And in this particular scripture, he's definitely warning of what's going to happen by being at ground zero. So there is a definite warning. Don't be there. Okay, and we're going to explain, as we did last week, where this is. But don't be there. But the other thing is, don't be a part of that system. Now, again, it's been used in a bad way where people have ran off to Panama. By the way, most of them are back. Thank you. Costa Rica and these different places to get safe havens, they're back. They did it all based on a presidency, whatever. I think you should do it based on the Holy Ghost and not on presidents and what you think is going to happen. But the long story short is that people were teaching, get out of Babylon. Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. Well, I can't get out of Babylon because Babylon is here and I'm in Babylon. So it's not actually it is in a ground zero situation, but it's a system that I have to not partake of. So, Pastor, how do you do that? This is the only way I know how to stay out of Babylon. Are you ready? This is the only way I know. And this is the Ben Faircloth translation. Tithe and offerings. My tithes sanctify my finances. And my offerings are a blessing to the Lord, and it sanctifies my entire economy. Because I have to pay taxes? I can't help that it goes funds this and funds wars and does this. I can't help that, can I? Unless I'm a ejector and go to prison. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pay my Caesar's fee. Right? I'm going to give unto Caesar, Caesar. I'm going to give unto God, God. So as I give unto God, I sanctify the rest of my finances and anything else I would end up paying out. It is blessed by the Lord because I'm a tither. Right. I have to obey. Does that make sense? So that to me is the number one way to stay out of Babylon. And then there's other peripheral ways, you know. You don't invest in certain corporations. You don't do this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but the best way, And the easiest way for all of us as believers to stay out of Babylon is to be givers and do the God thing. That makes sense? I think it makes a lot of sense. And so don't be partakers of her sins. Get out of those things. And then the other thing about partakers of her sins, don't act like corporate America. Let me try that one more time. Don't be like corporate America. Corporate America and people who are pushing for high dollars and power, they'll destroy you. You don't destroy your brothers and your sisters. There should be a time of jubilee where you forgive people their debts, so people owe you things. There should be times of acts of benevolence where, again, if somebody owes you something, you say, hey, look, I forgive you. What? Yeah, I forgive you. God forgave me, I forgive you. There should be times where you just bless somebody, pour something on them. What did they do? Did they rub your back? No, they never touched my back. Come on, the world says, rub my back, I'll rub your back. You just bless. What are you doing? You're staying out of that sin of being a whore, if you will, financially. Come on, help me, church, because so many people are stingy in the church. I'm looking at everybody. I'm not looking at you. They're stingy when it comes to money and stuff. Yet we say we love, and God so loved the world that he gave, we don't give back because we need to hold it for us. And so that's a, you may have never seen this taught this way, but that's one of the ways to not be a partaker of the sins of Babylon. What does Babylon do? Babylon steals. Babylon's a whore. Babylon's a prostitute. Babylon does whatever it can to get, give. It's mine. Right? Well, there's a remedy for that. Give. Give. Think about it this way. Babylon always says to go get. The kingdom says give. I think if you have that balance, you have a good life. Now, I'm not saying to be foolish and give everything away unless God tells you to. Send it to P.O. Box 303, Livonia, Georgia. Come on, somebody, right? So come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. By the way, you guys are awesome givers. That's why God's blessed you. Next verse. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So again, he says, don't be a part of it, because like a foul smell, it's reached my throne. Now think about this for a second. We don't know the distance to heaven. Nobody's taking a rocket and a tape measure. We don't know, right? We don't know. But what this is saying is their sin has been so compounded over the decades, over the centuries, over time, that it literally would reach him. So in other words, it's an issue of time. That God gave Babylon, God gave people time to get out of that, to get away from it, to repent. Remember, he gives a space of time, and man doesn't repent. And now it's basically, it's a play of words, it basically has reached heaven. I've had enough of it. You ever heard that before where could be a president or a CEO who says, that information has reached my desk. You know what I mean? It came from down there and it came up to the desk. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's reached his desk. Okay? Next verse. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. This is just, again, kind of a play of words, but what it's saying is, this is going to be bad. You know, it's one thing to have trouble, but it's another thing to have double trouble. Double trouble. So he says, it's reached me. It's reached me. I've had enough of this. And what I'm going to cause to happen to Babylon is going to be double. Double for the trouble. Okay? Remember that. The enemy's not going to get away with anything. He doesn't get away with anything. And that's what we have to realize, too, as Christians and in life. You know, when we feel like we got the short end of the deal, we feel like we've got, you know, why is everybody always picking on me? We got the bullseye and these different things. Seems like the devil's winning all the time. Guess what? He gets double. Don't worry about it. God's keeping score. He'll take care of it. Okay? So that's kind of where we were, and just some extra little info there. So next verse. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously or full of luxury. Now, I want you to see some things here because you're watching this in real time. You're watching this in real time. There is no doubt America is Mystery Babylon. There is no doubt the epicenter is New York City, as we said last time in teaching, and we'll go more clear in a little bit. But there's no doubt about it. But watch what I'm fixing to teach you here and use the real-time trends of what's happening right now. She has glorified herself and lived deliciously or full of luxury. Think about the United States for a second. So much torment and sorrow give her. So he said, I'm going to pay her back for all of this luxury. Now here again, this is where it's hard for the American Christian because he'll say, well, I have the right to live this way and I earn this and I work and this is the greatest country in the world. There is some truth to that, but how benevolent are you with what you have? How much have you given to the nations that don't have? Who gives you the right to sit on your high horse in a cushioned chair and act as though you're the king of the world and look down at them who are naked, little African children or wherever it may be, and you look down at them and you say, well, that's just the, you know, blah, blah. See, the church can't do that because our kingdom is above the kingdoms of the world. So we don't go by race. We don't go by culture. We don't go by family tree. We don't go by color. We go by creed and code, which is the Bible. And our eyes see love. And our eyes see destitution. And our eyes see poverty. And then we act because our heart has been converted. I'm no longer an American citizen. I am a citizen of heaven. In other words, my first pledge of allegiance is not to a flag or a common goal of my community. My first pledge and allegiance is to the kingdom, to Christ. And if he says give, then I give. If he says go, I go. But the Church of America has been so Americanized, and we have an American gospel, that we live life through the lenses of mom, apple pie, Chevy, baseball, and the good life. Am I making any sense? I'm making a lot of good sense. Okay, man, I'm making no dollars, but I'm making sense. Okay? And what we have to do is recognize and realize that that's not the way to live as believers. And I think that's why you're seeing a change in the church, where I've preached before, where Western Christianity is dying. And I believe that. I really believe it's dying. But watch this. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she sitteth in... She saith in her heart, okay, I'm allowed to be luxurious. I'm allowed to have good things, right? So much torment and sorrow give her. Why? Because she said in her heart, where is the issues of life? Heart. Where do we sin first? In our heart. Where do we need cleansing? In our heart. But she said, who? This Babylonian system. She said in her heart, I sit a queen. I'm on top of the world. I am a queen. I'm the United States of America. I am a queen. I'm Lady Liberty, Lady Freedom. I'm a queen. Come on. Anybody, you ever been around a diva, a woman who thinks she's a queen of a trailer park? Let me put this down so I can put my fist up. Right? She's a queen of a trailer park, and she's got a 1968 Cadillac, and she's all that. This is the mindset. Babylon's sister says, I am a queen. You feed me. You come to me. You give me what I want because I am the queen. Just last night, listening to the president speak, and all presidents when they get up there, the State of the Union, I want to puke. And this scripture and this whole thing just came flashing back at me. I had to hold my tongue until the morning when we had coffee. Then I let it out. I couldn't sleep. I was just like, oh my God. And I'm like, you get up there and you castigate the whole world. You castigate what's happening over in Europe. And I get all that. But the pomp and the circumstance and the pride was just so putrid. And I'm reading this and I'm like, we're so full of sin. We're so in trouble. We're doing so much bad, and we're sitting as a queen. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You listen to it. Every one of those cats get up there, and they taunt how much they're cutting taxes and how much they're helping the little men. And I'm just like, I want to pull whatever hair you got left out of your head because you're lying. We're going to hell in a handbasket. 7 out of 10 Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And your little measly stimulus and all the stuff you do, I'm not preaching now, but all the stuff you do, I'm making an illustration here. All you're doing is not going to help this problem, but your attitude comes across as you're the queen. And the whole world sees that. We can go into, I'm about to preach, but we can go into Afghanistan and we can destroy people's lives. We can go to Iraq and hang a man out of false evidence. We can go do all this, I'm talking about Saddam Hussein. We can do all these things as this dictator democracy, but let someone else do it and they're the devil, but we're the queen. Does that make sense? We don't have a righteous cause anymore because we're filthy. And this is exactly what's happening before you in real time. That's why I'm being passionate about it, being descriptive and illustrative, because you're watching it happen right now. It is the American Babylonian system right before your eyes. Look what she says in her heart. I am a queen. I'm not a widow. I don't owe nobody anything. I haven't lost anybody. I'm moving forward. Our stock market's out of the roof. I was contemplating the other day about the stock market, and I remember we were struggling at 7,000-8,000 points. And we would drop down 1,000 points, and a lot of us in the prophetic world were like, wow, this is not going to be good. And then somehow it would bounce back, and then it would drop, and bounce back, and drop. And now it's out of the roof. And people were predicting we'd get real high, and we're like, there's no way. But here we are. I'm not a widow. You're losing children. You're losing to the drug war. You're losing this abortion. I haven't lost anything. I'm a queen. Do you see the mentality? And again, you go back and replay, and you hear all these things, and we're doing this with infrastructure. Well, bridges are falling, by the way, not just the London Bridge. You know, this is happening, that's happening, and there's everything's great. I don't know what planet these guys are. They must give drugs to politicians. Seriously, maybe there's a crack pipe that you have to hit on the way in, or something's going on in these chambers, Tony. I don't get it, because you're not on the same planet I'm on. Yeah. We're helping the little man. The little man's dying because you're squashing him with your taxes. Oh, see, I don't want to get started. Anyways, come back Sunday. And I shall see no sorrow. It doesn't bother me. What sorrow? Afghanistan, and we lost all that money, and all those men died, and they're still bleeding today, and they're paralytics, and they got brain problems, and their brain injuries. No sorrow. 9/11, you know what? It's over. No sorrow. No godly friend. Why didn't they start out with the State of the Union saying, our Father in heaven, forgive us for what we've done as a nation? They don't start out that way. They never will. They always come out with, look what I've done. Yeah, I see it. It's reached to heaven. Okay, let me go on. I feel better, though. I feel real better. There's another good word, real better. I feel real better. All right, next verse. Shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Why does God say it this way? Because of pride. Pride, right? Fall always comes when there's pride. Pride always comes, and then there's a fall. Is that right? Prideful. Verse 7 proved it. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death and mourning and famine. So look at this. What does it mean by in one day? Well, that's what it means. In one day. You can also interpret it this way, immediately. When God decides, when it's time to trip the wire, when it's time where he's had enough of this, it'll be in one day. And look what he says comes their way. Death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Okay, so let's interpret this, and let's look at this a little bit, if we can. So how long does it take? Let me ask you this way. How long does it take for a nuke to destroy a city? Just a day. Just a moment. Now, why am I saying that? Because a lot of theologians, a lot of people believe that this particular event takes place through a nuclear detonation. Does it have to be? No. There was no nukes in Sodom and Gomorrah, but the aftermath was just like a nuke. Was it? Absolutely. You can go there today and they still have heavy concentration of brimstone and ashes and things that are found in the soil. God did something, didn't he? But theologically and trending of culture and of recent threats and the world having nukes, seems like almost everybody's got a nuke. You can go to a flea market and get a nuke, seemingly. But so many of our enemies would want to destroy us. And remember, New York City, again, is that financial capital. If you cut off the head of New York City, you have done great damage to the United States. And besides that, if a nuclear explosion were to take place there, whether planted or through a boat coming through the port, there's so many scenarios, so many ways it can happen, doesn't matter. You're going to have tremendous damage to the seaboard of the eastern part of the United States. And it's going to reverberate throughout the entire nation. And there's a good possibility it's not just one place this will happen. But in Ground Zero, in prophecy, concerning the horror of Babylon, the mystery of Babylon, this is a specific place. Okay? So we're only surmising. The great prophet David Wilkerson had seen in many visions, at least in one particular vision, he saw thousands of fires across New York City. He's seen the destruction. There's other contemporary prophets and people who say they've had visions and dreams. Can't verify them. I don't know them. But there are people throughout history who have seen New York in tremendous destruction. Is it going to be nuclear? I don't know. But I do know this. I am supposed to get out of Ground Zero. So, Flo, we ain't shopping. If it looks like something's going on, we're not shopping up there. And I know I'm not supposed to be a part of the whole system. Okay? Remember this. In history, with prophetic judgments, there are precursors, and they can be decades apart. 9/11 was a precursor. Where did it happen? New York City. Always remember, they're harbingers, they're warnings, and God will let decades go by. See, we think judgment should be a warning and then kill them, God. That's why when we pray, we got to be careful how we pray, right? Because we're like, oh, Lord, help me, kill them, but help me. Jennifer used to say, let's pray that God killed them or something. I don't know what she said. I was like, what? She was just playing. Were you playing? All right. So Ms. Sarah's like, I know that prayer. All right. So very, very interesting, isn't it? So it's a precursor in history. It's going to happen. How it's going to happen, we don't know. But she's utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God with who judges her. So it's going to happen. It's going to happen one day. I don't know. I just find it very amazing and ominous, but I'm not worried about it, as I shared with you on Sunday morning. But it's very interesting that here you have, you know, Russia talking about nukes. Not just Russia. You have China that's warning us. You've got North Korea that's been warning us. They've been throwing bottle rockets at us for years, you know, landing in the Sea of Japan just to freak us out. And you have Iran and, you know, whoever else is out there. So we have this threat over us. So it is something to consider in the hour that we're living in. But I'm not going to take you down the road to say it's imminent. I don't think it's imminent. I don't think it's tomorrow. It's coming. But it's interesting the times we're in. All right, next verse. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously, remember, full of luxury, with her shall bewail her and lament her, for when they see the smoke of her burning. So literally the world sees this. Think about this. New York City, the city that never, what? Sleeps. Never sleeps. You can go to New York City and do anything you want to do 24/7. It never sleeps. Las Vegas is probably the closest to it, but there's nothing like New York City. Okay? The nations see it. Don't you think New York's pretty visible? I mean, you look at just what happened with the pandemic. They come up with one law, or they come up with one mandate or whatever it is, and the entire United States, you know, for the most part, is starting to enact it, or it's starting to be like a fever. Everybody wants to start wearing masks and making this. And it's something of a cultish type of activity that happens in that particular state. It's just the way that it is in that city. Okay? And what's interesting is that the whole world, all the kings, they see it, they bewail it, they lament. Why? Because now their cash king is gone. Their whore is gone. Their queen is gone. Who they went to receive their finances is gone. And think about this. You ready for this? The United Nations sits in New York. That's all the kings. All the world is represented by the United Nations. So if you destroy that city, you just destroy that whole complex. And they visibly saw the destruction of New York. Again, I'm not going to go in the parking lot and find anybody, but I don't think you can find any other city in the world that fits this bill. I just don't think it's, I don't think it's canon down the road. Or Bucktooth, Montana. I just don't think it is. Okay? But let's go on. And live deliciously, or full luxury, with her. They bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. They just totally lose it. Now think about this. Let me give you another illustration. Where is Wall Street? You destroy Wall Street, which is one of the biggest whores, one of the biggest brothels, if you will, for the mystery Babylon, for the economic system, the biggest thieves. You know they're stealing from you. They're stealing pensions. On and on it goes, right? We know this. What do you think the world's going to do who's put all their money in this stock market and it crashes? It's burnt up. You think they're going to have a party and say, just a couple billion I lost, ain't no big deal here. No, I think they're going to cry out. All right, next verse. So we're moving along. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city of Babylon. Notice, where are they standing? Afar off. Why? They don't want to be near it. You want to be near some radiation? I don't. Alas, alas, the great city Babylon. What is it? It's a city. But it's not only a city. Watch this. It's a city, it's a system, it's a state, it's a nation. It's all that together. That mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment is come. So he said one day, then he says what? 1 hour. He's talking about with speed. It'll be very quick. Bam, it's going to happen. Next verse. Now watch this. This is very interesting because now we're going to look at around, I think we'll start getting into this here in just a second, but we're going to get around 30 articles of commerce. I think there's about 30 articles of commerce. So think of this as a real big shopping store, okay? It helps paint the picture for New York. Ready? And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. No more buying and selling. It's done. Whether stocks, remember, when you're doing stocks and trading, you're trading commodity. You're not just trading numbers and a piece of paper. They're trading oil. They're trading goods. It's all electronic business transactions. So think of that, all right, when I read this. Next verse. And the merchants of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls. What is that? That's your jewelry section, right? And fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet and all the fine wood, which deals with cabinetries, and all manners vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels, the most precious wood and of brass, iron, and marble. So far, we're looking at commerce. We're looking at, they don't have them down here called a Myers. I don't know what they are up in the north, but Myers was a place you can go in. It was like a Walmart on steroids. You could get not only your hair cut, you can get your teeth done. What else could you probably get plastic surgery there? A Myers up in Ohio area, 24 hours. Anything you wanted, man, you got it. So think about that. It's a real big store. Next verse. And cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beast, and sheep, and horses, and chariots. You know what's funny about this word chariots here in the Greek? It's actually four-wheeled vehicle. If you look it up, it's a four-wheeled chariot. I just thought that was kind of cool. What is traded on the stock market? Stocks, vehicles, you name it. Everything we're seeing here goes through New York City in a major way. And slaves and souls of men. Absolutely. Next verse. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. Notice that, the fruits, everything that you wanted, everything that you pushed for, everything that you sold men's souls for, and you made them slaves. You say, how's that in slavery? Well, slavery is when you don't pay a man what he's worth. Slavery doesn't have anything, it doesn't have to do with making money or not making money. Slavery is whenever you have the rule over somebody and you don't give them the just due for what they've done for you. Now, I'm not talking socialism, where everybody at McDonald's should make 15 bucks an hour to do this. That's flipping a hamburger. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. I know we need frontline heroes. Church, come on, help me, man. But 15 bucks and your sandwich is going to cost you 20. No, I don't think that's even. That's for another day. And the fruits of thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all these things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. This is why we preach and we tell you, and we tell folks, the American dream is a nightmare. It's unsustainable. We can't keep doing what we're doing. We can't keep thumbing our nose at God, flipping him the bird, and all the things that we do as a people, and sit as a queen and act like we ain't got no problems and print money, and then we're going to cut off this country from the financial blessings of whatever, and then watch those people starve and have famine over there. You know, on and on it goes. And it's an unjust balance. And the Lord says, you know what, after all this time, I blessed you and you still won't be benevolent. You still won't give. And one day, in 1 hour, it's coming. It's reached my desk. I've had enough of this. And Americans can't see this, and we don't believe it. And we hear people like myself and others, and you think, oh, you're anti-American, you're anti-this. It's not anti-anything. It's just truth. You know, I don't want to see us in these days. Do you? I don't. I want us to be a blessed people. I want God to shine down upon my city, upon my church, upon my family. But the only way to get God's benevolence and favor is to do right. And we ain't doing right as a country. We're not. Next verse. And the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and doing what? Wailing. He just said that. He reemphasized that they're going to stand off. They're going to be like, oh my God. Wow. Could you imagine if New York was completely destroyed and wiped out and America itself was decapitated, what the world would do? How do I say it? It would be like letting the cartel do whatever they wanted to do in Mexico. Well, they're already doing it, but you know what I'm saying. It's like having no law enforcement in the neighborhood and everybody going wild and crazy. Oh, is that like Portland? Yeah, something like that. Man, this guy's digging, isn't he? But look, they're weeping. They were made rich by her. Next verse. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold. Remember, we saw this description earlier, didn't we? In chapter 17, we saw that whore. It's the same setup. And precious stones and pearls. How does America, with all of this luxury and all this glory and beauty and all the Kardashians and all the famous stuff that we have and our famous people, and we're just so awesome, and sports characters and rock and roll stars and Hollywood whatevers, how could it be depleted and destroyed? Let me tell you something. If America falls, and when America falls, I should say that, like I was using an illustration of the thugs taking over and cartel, whatever, the world will absolutely, absolutely be a very dangerous place, don't you think? And there's more I can say to that. Next verse. For in 1 hour, there it goes again, from 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. They were blown away. Next verse. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Going back to the beginning of our teachings, it cannot be literal Babylon. You can't see the city from the ocean. It's too much desert. Other teachers think it's Saudi Arabia. I don't see Saudi Arabia as a powerhouse like this. I don't see America looking at Saudi Arabia burning and going, oh, wow, oh, that's horrible. I see us and the world going, oh, my God, New York is gone. Wall Street is gone. Forget the towers. They've been gone. This is gone. Our presidency, blah, blah. How far-reaching this is, I see the world weeping and saying, we've lost our whore. We've lost our cash cow. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is no way that you can twist this to be some other region of the world. Just look at what I've been telling you about the Swift. Remember, before they ever pulled the switch, 2 weeks ago I told you they're talking about using the Swift against Russia, and they did. They pulled the Swift to where they cannot do any business transactions in the dollar, and the ruble has fallen to less than 1 cent, 1 American cent in comparison. They're trying to destroy that economy, and they did it with a push of a button. That's Babylon rising. That's the power that they have. So imagine the flip result to where that power has now been decapitated. That whole banking system is crushed. And the people who made money off of us, which I find that so arrogant last night, talking about the oligarchs and talking about all these things. And I'm like, you're sitting there talking to a bunch of oligarchs in the chamber. And you and this government and other governments have made them rich with your contracts. It's hypocritical. And God remembers this. Okay? You say, well, that's political. It's not political. That's a fact. But we just don't want to talk about it. All right, so I got to go. What do we got? What's the next verse? And they cast dust on their heads. That's a Middle Eastern custom of just really wailing. And cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city. Look how many times he's talking about these people being upset. This is huge. Again, this isn't some little town down the road. This is a major commerce center, a major place, a major country. Wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea. Do you know how many boats come here? If you don't believe it, go online and Google the shipping channels, especially during the pandemic, and you would see both sides of the ocean, both sides of the United States, just with the blinking lights, which indicates tankers, just sitting there. And there's still stuff sitting there. Jennifer's company is an international company. They're still waiting on products that are sitting in the ocean. Or they're sitting in Los Angeles at the docks. What am I saying? This fits the bill. This fits the bill, doesn't it? All the ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For again, here we go, 1 hour, she's made desolate. It's just amazing. Next verse. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. God said, we're going to have a revival service. We're going to rejoice in what has just taken place. Why? Because God has waited for that particular day. Is that it on that? Should be another verse, though. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and she shall be found no more at all. Notice he took a great millstone. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. and no craftsman, and whatsoever craft shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. Next verse. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Don't you think they have a lot of lights there? And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. In other words, there's no partying. Broadway's over, musicals are over, concerts are over, the city that never sleeps, it's over, the partying down, it's over. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Listen to what it says, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth. We've had some great powerhouses that are from and do live in New York City. Does the Rockefeller sound familiar to you? And the others? Absolutely they do. For by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived. Now watch this. I'm going to finish this up here. All thy sorceries. In other words, there are ways that are used in the world of finance to manipulate other countries to invest in the United States. And they use magic. They use sorceries. They use demonic powers to get people to invest into this country. We use our military power, we use our threats, we use political things, we use legislation, we use sorcery to get nations to invest in us. If you don't believe that, then you don't know how deep of a corrupted country we really are, and how that we hold things over these nations, very rich, mineral, wealthy African nations are held under our thumb via the UN to rape them and rob them of natural resources through taxation, and on it goes. And this is what this is speaking of. It's sorcery. They'll say, well, it's capitalism, is being part of a democracy. Well, there's sorcery in this, okay? The nations are deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Again, wars. Helping regimes, dictators, tyrants, on it goes, having the hand, that whole economic system, that whole city, that whole Babylonian enterprise moving throughout the earth. That's it. Wow. Isn't that something? So what do we come down to as I close for tonight? Definitely this is New York City, in my opinion. Definitely it's the United States of America. We fit the bill perfectly. There's coming a day when it reaches God's desk and he says, it's time. When do we know it's time? At the end of the 3.5 years, around that period of time of the last 7 years of the part of tribulation, because that's what we've been looking at. So what do we do between now and then, knowing this information? We do everything we can to not be a part of the system. Reach people every day. Witness to them. Get them saved. Tell them to get out of that situation. Get out of Babylon. Father, thank you for this opportunity to teach tonight. I pray that we learn something and are encouraged to know that you're going to give double. You're going to pay back. Vengeance is yours, Father. We don't have to worry about it. You'll handle it all. We love you. We ask your blessings over the church around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.